simply by visiting the deity of Govinda in Vrindavan, one becomes elevated in pious life. I bow down to the lotus feet of Radha, the goddess of the yoga pit, who, with all her wonderful gestures and postures, always stands at Govinda Dev. The deity of Govinda Dev is not different from the deity of Govinda in Vamsivad or in Vrindavan. Of course, in Vrindavan, at Govindastali, Govinda Dev is eternally situated there with Radharani and all the Sakis, and that's glorified in the prayer that we know from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpa Jumada, Shimad Rathagara Sima Samasto, Shimad Shiva Radha Govinda Devo, Prekshala Dhi Sejamana Smarami. Radha Govinda Dev was sitting on a jeweled throne, Divya Ratna, underneath the Kadamba tree on the slope of the yoga pit in Govindastali, and is surrounded by all the Sakis there, Prekshala Alidhi, the Panama Prekshala Sakis, the Rita Vasaki, some divisions. Two devis, etc. And all rendering wonderful services there, fanning the Lord, playing musical instruments for the Lord. This is the special place in the yoga pit. So here in the afternoon, Radha Kund is a midday yoga pit of the Lord. In the morning, Radharani and Krishna, they meet in Gupta Kund and Nandagaon. And then in the meantime, they meet in, of course, the other, sometimes they say Sankhet is also yoga pit. And then they meet in the afternoon yoga pit. Here is Radha Kund. So Govinda Dev are here. And then in the evening, Radha Govinda meets the yoga pit in Vamsivad. So that place is called Govindastali, or the yoga pit where Govinda and Radharani meet. So Radha and Govinda are here. Lord Shiva glorifies Govinda Dev to Parvati. He says Govinda exists eternally in the yoga pit in Vrindavan, and Govinda is the only lord of Vrindavan throughout the 4 yugas. Govinda Dev performs varieties of leelas according to his own desires. Worldly persons see Govinda as a deity, but the devotees know that he is Govinda himself. The yoga pit in Vrindavan is one of the wonders of the world. Govinda's beauty is indescribable in this place. There is a place in the center of Vrindavan decorated with many varieties of beautiful trees. It spreads out for many miles and is the abode of celestial happiness. Bumblebees continually hum there, being maddened by the sweetly scented flowers. It is the Siddha Pit, or Yoga Pit, the eternal place of Lord Govinda, which is covered by 7 veils. It is the best place for those who want to hear. In that place, there is a jeweled studded platform of the holy Hemaput. Within that center of Hemaput is situated the bright and beautiful yoga pit. This octagonal pit, 8 gates, is illuminated by many bright objects. A golden throne bedecked with bright jewels stands there, and on the throne is an 8-petaled lotus. Lord Govinda forms his favorite place within the pollen of that lotus, which overflows with abundant happiness. How can I sufficiently glorify this place? I pray to Lord Govinda, who remains within that lotus and is worshipped by his beloved gopis. He is Vrindavan Nath, Gokulapati. Govinda is young, beautiful, and the dearest associate of the maidens of Braja. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath the desire tree, Radha Govinda, served by the most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my most humble obeisances unto them. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami describes the yoga pit in Vrindavan. Dear friend, if you want to enjoy with your materialistic friends, then don't visit the place near Keshigat. Don't see the deity of Krishna known as Govinda, as he stands attractively in his threefold bending form, sweetly smiling and casting captivating sidelong glances as he holds his flute to his ruby red lips and wearing a peacock crown. So if you want to maintain your attachment, internal or external attachment to this material world, this material society, material friendship, material love, a loving relationship, then don't look at Govinda Dev in the yoga pit. And so attractive with his ruby red lips and his flute pressed to his lips. and is casting sidelong glances at the feet of Radharani, Madan Mohan Mohini. Beautiful Sombar vase, white vase. Shiraz had a new vase today. White vase, very nice. At the border, very nice border, I'm looking. So this is a prayer. Abhideya Dideva Pranam. This is the yesterday of the Abhideya. Abhideya means the practice of devotional service. Our performance of sadhana is offered to the lotus feet of Radha Govinda. And they accept that service. Govinda means he who protects the senses or accepts the service of our senses at his lotus feet. Govinda means that means one who gives pleasure to the senses in our eyes and nose and hands and tongue and ears are engaged in the service of Govinda, then they will turn great pleasure, inestimable pleasure and happiness by being linked in the devotional service of the Lord. It is the prayer that we pray for that to that deity, which is the one that we mentioned. Maybe can we keep that after me. Divyad Vrindaranya Kalpadrumada Srimad Ratnagara Simhasana So Srimad Radha Sila Govindadeva Krishna Alibi Sejamano Marami. I offer my most respectful obeisances to Sri Radha Govinda Devi, who is so beautifully situated on a jeweled ashram, standing underneath a kalpadruma, a wish-fulfilling tree, in a sentiment of Divya Vrindaranya. So we have Danda Karanya, the forest where Lord Ram was wandering. Ra'aranya means forest. Divya Vrindaranya means the transcendental forest of Vrindavan, so situated there. So beautiful. Narada Muni said in the Chanda Puran, in Vrindavan, the temple of Govinda Deva is surrounded by devoted worshippers. I prefer to live there. O King, in this world, Vrindavan is the spiritual abode of Govinda. Vrinda Devi and other female devotees of Krishna also remain there. Those great souls who get darshan of the powerful Govinda in Vrindavan are the most glorified persons in the world. The location of the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan is very significant. Although imperceivable to mundane vision, the temple is located in the middle of Yogapith, the transcendental meeting place of Radha and Krishna, and it is the site of their confidential spiritual pastime. Included within the spiritual site of Radha Govinda's Yogapith are Brahmakund, Gopiswar, Bhamsibat, and Yamuna River. On the visible plane at these places, there are temples and deities offering darshan, blessings, and opportunities for service and meditation to help the devotee attain the pure loving service of Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Yogapith means the meeting place or the place where a devotee can connect with Krishna and his eternal associate. The means of connection is surrendered devotional service for the pleasure of Lord Govinda, as most perfectly exemplified in the selfless actions of Srimati Radharani and the gopis. Sri Sri Radha Govinda at Yogapith are the main deities of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because they accept the devotee's service and inspire ever-increasing surrender and loving devotion. For devotees, the means and the end are the same. The goal of life is prema bhakti, pure, ecstatic, loving service of Radha and Krishna. This service must be free from all material designations and misconceptions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the goal of life, the goal of bhakti yoga, gopi bhakti parakamala yoga, dasana, dasana, dasana. I am simply a servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis, Lord Sri Krishna. By serving Radha Govinda in a stage of practice, sadhana bhakti, one will attain the loving service of Radha Gopinath at the stage of perfection. The Gaudiya Vaishnavas constantly pray to Radha Govindaji, O Radha Govindaji, I beg you, please give me an opportunity to render some small service at your divine lotus feet. I am worthless and totally insignificant, but please give me your mercy. While reading the following description of the beauty of Radha Govinda's yoga pit, one should not forget the goal of completely dedicating himself to the loving service of the lotus feet of Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, and Sri Sri Radha Govinda. Actually, the yoga pit means service, so the service attitude permeates everything there. The ground, the trees, the flowers, the vine, the fruit, the deer, the bird, the jewel cottages, the wind, the Yamuna, the mandris, the gopis, and Sri Radhika. Everything and everyone within the yoga pit exists only for the service and pleasure of Sri Govinda. The Vedic literature, Lord Shiva, and the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas such as Krishnadas Kaviraj give vivid descriptions of Vrindavan's yoga pit. Srila Rupa Goswami wrote one book explaining how to meditate on the yoga pit, and numerous artists have portrayed the scene to assist devotees in their remembrance. Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Govinda, Radha Krishna running on your bus with a picture. The picture is not different from Krishna. Have your picture of Yuvraj on your bus, and you can run around your bus with a kirtan and have it seven times. Gaya can say in Bangalore, you can run around the bus, you know. And they'll just think that it's a husband and wife having a fight, and then you're chasing your husband around the bus. Hey, and play around and around. Oh, look at that lady, she's chasing her husband, he must be mad. He goes once, twice, right, three, four, and after seven times, and hey, well, it's Krishna, it's a time, it's a time, it's a time. Here we go, Radhana Ki, Jai.
It says you can have 56, you can have Sapan both. Sapan 56, you can have 56 preparations. Sabji, Sevi, Puri, Lari, Kapuri, Nyari, Asura, Rajanam. No, David, that's okay. You have all these things, but if you don't have appropriate, then Krishna can go out to
his
name.
It doesn't matter.
The coffee is the most important offering in Krishna. So, we don't have other things in our minds very often. So, at least we can offer these coffees and maybe some water from the water. But what's Krishna's favorite water? Favorite water of Krishna? Radhakund. Radhakund is famous for the Radharani. It's a very strong and famous for Radharani. She likes to drink it on me. So I do that. When they're cutting the rod, it's tough here. Just here.
Thank you.
Gave the treasure of Krishna Prema to everyone. Oh, where has Prabhu gone now? Where are my Swarup Bhamadar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Das Raghunath, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? Where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? All at once they have gone to join Lord Gauranga, the king of dancers. I will crush my head with a rock and jump into a fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? They've all gone off together to relish blissful pastimes. Unable to obtain an association, I, Narottam Das, must simply weep.
Radhakrishna.
those Swamis from others. Radhanath Chatur sang the slokas in four different tunes as sweet as a cuckoo. As Radhanath read the Bhagavat, he would wet the pages with his tears of Krishna Prema. By the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radhanath Bhatta, Sri Swami, remained a lifelong brahmachari. He was so absorbed in Krishna Katha that he never heard and spoke worldly topics, or to speak of criticizing devotees. Radhanath believed that each devotee was serving the Lord according to his realization, and therefore one should ignore his fault. Radhanath Bhatta Goswami lived in Braja for 45 years. In Radhakrishna Nishit Leela, he served as Rasa or Radhamanjari. This is Radhamanjari, is Radhamanjari. So what happened is that one day Krishna was playing over here in the Govardhan Hill with the gopis, coward boys. And then Kamsa sent his demon Arista Asura, to come and call Krishna. So Krishna, he met that demon here, in this place, in the forest here. And then he fought with that demon and he killed him very easily. Arista, which came in the form of a big bull, a powerful, powerful bull. But Krishna easily defeated him. And actually written in this book, from that seemingly adharmic activity of killing a bull, the most dharmic place became created. Radhakrishna is actually the perfection of dharma. To be able to come here and bathe in this water of Radhakrishna is the highest blessing that one could ever attain, at least in the line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. You'll see, you won't find too many other people over here. You won't find too many Ram Bhaktas or Hanuman Bhaktas. Actually, everyone here is a Gaudiya. Whereas in Vrindavan, you find all kinds of different devotees. So here, everyone is a devotee of Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath. They're all Gaur Bhaktas. Actually, almost. I mean, Vallabhacharya is a place called Pasagad. And that's the earth of the Vallabhas. That's on Samarkand side. They come here, some of the Vallabhas. And mostly this place is only for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Lord Chaitanya and worshippers of Radha and Krishna. It's a very, very dear place. So after Krishna killed that bull, he wanted to meet with the gopis later that evening. And Radharani came here, all the gopis, and Krishna's here. And the gopis, they said to Krishna, they said, you killed a bull, and the bull is a representative of dharma, religion. There's no way you can actually associate with us. We don't want to touch you. You're contaminated, and you're full of sin now from killing that bull. So you have to get purified. And Krishna said, well, how do I have to get purified? And then the gopis said, well, you have to bathe in every sacred river in the universe. You have to go from the bottom of the universe to the Patal Ganga, up to the Suraduni Ganga, and you have to bathe in all the different rivers, the Kaveri, Sindhu, and Jamuna, and the Krishna, all the different rivers. And you have to visit all the holy places. Then I think after you've done that, then you'll be sufficiently purified of killing that bull, and then you can come and dance with us, associate with it. So Krishna said, well, what if I just call the sacred rivers here? I mean, I don't really want to leave Vrindavan. Is that one? What's that verse? Vrindavanam, no, Savadharmam, Vrindavanam Prithyajya, Na Eka Param, Gatsami, right? He says, Ekaparam, I don't go out. Not, he says, Ekaparam, Nagatami. I don't go even one step out of Vrindavan. Vrindavanam, Jityaja. Ekaparam, Nagatami. So Krishna doesn't go out one step out of Vrindavan. So he said to the gopis, what if I just call the sacred rivers here and all the holy places here? Then I don't have to go. And they said, well, I don't know. We're just village girls. If you can do that, well, that's fine. We won't mind. And then Krishna called all the sacred rivers. And there was one place, Krishna put his foot in the ground. He put his, I guess, right foot in the ground. And he made a little infection in the ground. So that infection, all the sacred rivers came there and they filled that. They all joined together there and they filled that. And that became known as Kamakum. So then Krishna bathed there. And then the gopis, then he was all purified of his sin. And then he called the gopis, he was joking with them. He said, well, look, actually, when you say that I killed a bull, and that's against religion, you throw a coward to kill a bull to give an offense to his sin. But actually, that bull was not a bull, it was actually a demon in disguise of a bull. So actually, you gopis sided with the bull, and he sided with the demon, so actually you're contaminated. You've gotten a karma, and you're because you defended that bull and said it was actually a good person. But actually, the karma comes from you, so you're all contaminated now. And you have to purify yourself by bathing in the sacred river. And so that was very fine. We'll do that. And Krishna said, well, how do you do that? So we'll do our own sins right over here. So Radharani took his bangle, a kanchana. He took off his bangle, he started digging in one of the hook pins. One of the hook pins for this list of prayers. So he was digging, all the gopis took off his bangles and were digging. And thousands and thousands of gopis, and pretty soon they had a sizable hole there. And then Krishna said, well, what about water? What will you do for water? And Radharani said, never mind. We'll get our water. We'll get the Ganga. The Ganga's right here, Manasi Ganga, or Govardhan, is a place called Manasi Ganga. And we'll just bring it in pots. We'll all put it on our heads and bring it in pots over here. That's what they do. The gopis always extra carrying water so they can try it. But Krishna said, well, that'll take a long time. It'll take hours and hours to fill up our sins. Why don't you take the water from my sins? And Radharani said, no, your water is contaminated. We want our own water. We don't let you take your water. We'll get our own water. Thank you. And very stubborn. They're going back and forth. And it lasted for several hours of conversation, actually. Started in the evening about 7:30 in the evening, 8 o'clock in the evening, to go, since it began to go. It was about 8:30 in the evening. I went on to about 11:30, quarter to 12. They're going back and forth. Why don't you take water? And meanwhile, of course, the gopis were bringing water, but it's a long time to fill it up. So then, he called the sacred rivers. So when the representative of all the sacred rivers came out of Samarkand with holy hands and said to Radharani, oh Radharani, please, some singer really wants us to render service to you, and we really want to have an opportunity to serve you. Can we come and fill your kund? Can you allow us to fill your kund so you don't have to labor so hard? So Krishna, if you're so sad, but even if you see one drop of perspiration form on your forehead, you become very discouraged. He never likes to see you do any hard work or labor. What does he see? You're carrying all these heavy pots of water in your head all the way from Manasi Ganga. That's not very nice. Please, can we do the service to you? Can we? Would you let us? And then she said, no, I don't want anything from the Sama Sundar. We'll fill our own sins. She goes back and forth and put it. The sacred rivers, they say to Radharani, please let us do the service just for our benefit. Allow us to render some small service to you because we're so fortunate. We've been able to come to Braj by Krishna's mercy. He's allowed us to enter Braj. He's invited us here to do service, and we've come to Braj and do service. So now we have an opportunity to serve your lotus feet. And we know that the greatest perfection anyone could ever achieve is to attain the service of you and your lotus feet. So if you'll allow us to please enter, it'll be very nice. So then Radharani, she became a little softened, because she's very soft-hearted. And so she kind of gave a sidelong glance to Krishna, indicating that it was all right. So Krishna said, go ahead. At that time, it was about 12 o'clock midnight on Bahulashtami night, on the waning, eighth day of the waning moon of Kartik month, when the moon is getting small, on Bahulashtami. So on that day, the sacred rivers broke a hole through the side, and then they filled up Kamakam, they broke through and filled up Radhakam. And then Radharani, to show that she was completely in agreement with Sam Sundar and was no longer thinking that Sam Sundar was contaminated and filled with all do it immediately, went over to Tama Kun and bathed. And Monica brought him back. She bathed her, and then she called. She said, actually, before she was adamant, she didn't want to touch the Tama Kun at all, because she said it was all contaminated, and it seems that Tama Kun was killing his cow, the bull. And then after they kind of established their friendship again, and she gave up her kind of a mild mind, she bathed directly in Tama Kun, and she declared, she said, actually, this Kun is wonderful. I'll bathe her every day. I come here and bathe every day. And anyone who comes here and bathes in this Samkun, I will bless them to have the same loving attachment that I have for my Samkundar. I will give them that benediction. Then Samkundar, to show equal reciprocation of Radharani, then he went and jumped in Radhakun. And this Govinda got here in this place. He jumped in Radhakun, and he said that, from this day forward, I will always come here and bathe, and I have wonderful pastimes for all the gopis. And anyone who comes here and bathes in Radhakun, I will bestow upon them the same attachment that I have for Srimati Radharani. The same unlimited love that I have for Srimati Radharani, I will give to anyone who comes here with a humble heart and a pure mind and bathes here in Radhakun. So that's kind of he's telling of the formation of Radhakun and Samakun. Of course, different Acharyas give different explanations. In the Brajavati Sampanani, Krishna Prabhupada said, he says, I believe that Radhakun and Samakun were formed in this way, that when Krishna came here in the midday and he met Radharani, when he saw Radharani, he was so overwhelmed by her wonderful beauty and her sentimental importance and sweetness, that he simply melted into a pool of ecstasy. His whole body, heart, and mind melted into a pool of divine prema or ecstasy. His whole body melted into a divine pool of ecstasy that became Samakun. And Radharani, upon seeing the transformation of her beloved son, he became overwhelmed and completely astonished and stunned in divine ecstasy, and she melted into a pool of prema that became Radhakun. So this Radhakun and Samakun is nothing but the liquid prema. Radhakun and Samakun is nothing but the liquid prema of the divine couple, Radha and Krishna. He says like that. And we can sing some prayers from this book now. Next prayer from he was living in a fire, seeing that he was killing animals. He was kind of a low class person. This is during Sapta Yuga, I believe. I think it was Sapta Yuga. Maybe Kaita, but I think it was Sapta Yuga. And Radharani came there. And he met him. He said, why are you doing this? Why are you killing these animals? And he said, you should take the self-realization. You're going to have to suffer millions and millions of births in hell for all this killing you're doing. And, so then he said, you should chant mantra. If you chant mantra, you can atone, you can get prayaschitta, you can atone for all these sins, and eventually you can come to the proper platform of spiritual life. He said, I don't want to chant any mantras. All I want to do is live in the forest and just kill these animals. So then he said, no. Narada Muni said, look, you should perform some tapasya and some austerity and chant some mantras to get purified. He said, all right, I'll do some austerity, but I don't want to chant any mantras. I just, all I know is killing, and that's all I know. So he said, all right, then you perform austerity and you chant this mantra, Mara Mara Mara, Mara Mara Mara, because Mara means death. Then Valmiki, he performed austerity. And what happened is, he was standing in the forest for thousands of years, and when the ants brought an ant, because Valmiki, the word Valmiki, as I recall, it means ant hill. The word, ant, sometimes the ants would dig a hole in the ground and they pour out all the sand. They pour all the sand out of the ground and then they make a hill. They have all the holes inside and all roads and everything. And it's a huge big ant colony, millions of ants. And there's this big sand mountain next to it. And there's all holes underneath and footpaths. So Valmiki, the word Valmiki means ant hill. The word Valmiki, it says Valmiki Muni. He was a Muni who did austerities in Kshatriya, I think it was Kshatriya or Kshatriya. For thousands of years he spent Siddhas. So what happened is the ants, they built an ant hill around his body that ate up all the flesh of his body. And his atma, his soul, just entered into his bones. Usually his soul is broken in the right cells of the heart. So his soul entered into the bone marrow. And the ants ate up all his flesh. The ants, like, you know, they eat bodies. He's seen a bug running from the ground, and that's when he's all the way up. They ate up his body. So he lived inside the bones, and he was inside the bones chanting Mara, 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 Mara. He was chanting Mara, 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 Mara. So Mara, 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 Mara is Ram. It becomes Ram. We say, you know, Mara, 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 Mara. It became Ram. So when he was chanting Ram, he had Daishan. This is in Kshatriya Yuga. He had Daishan. He had Daishan, the pastime of Lord Ramachandra, the way it could be revealed in Kshatriya Yuga. So then, in that mystic vision he had, of the pastime, he wrote down this famous scripture called Ramayan. Ramayan is the scripture in the pastime, so he's the one who's trying Ramayan. So, it's not exactly the Bible, it's in here. It's a divine spiritual atmosphere of such a place. You never really want to go anywhere. Let's go back to Godhead. And being inspired by the spiritual feeling and kind of turning to the sincerity of the mind. Being inspired by the spiritual feeling. It's such a high place, such an exalted place, that you can't help but feel very serious when you're here. Isn't it a very serious thing? When it's Vrindavan, when we live in Vrindavan, you know, in that area, it seems to be kind of an atmosphere of enjoyment there. People seem to be wrestling with and wrestling with. But here, I mean, this is a place of Bhagavan, this is a place of Mahatma, to this perfect painting. And all these great saints came here and did their bodies on the Samadhi here, the Chinmaya Deus are here, the spiritual bodies are here, the emanating the vibrations. And right here, the auspices of driving us up to the and driving us up to the recovery, they're all right here. And even the Bhagavatam, like the Bhikkhu Muni, his bones, he gave up his body in the desert, his bones are just there, this pile of bones. Lying in the desert, and Chitraraka was flying overhead in his airplane, Mr. Viman, with the demigoddesses. And he made an attempt by flying over the bones of the Bhikkhu Muni, and his plane crashed. And then he had to consider, oh, why did my plane crash? They found some phases there. And they're buying, so what did I do? I made some attempts, I made some impiety, my plane crashed. Because these are the planes that crashed, and that's. And then in his way, you made an apparat, you flew over the bones of the Bhikkhu Muni. So it shows there that the bones, even the bones of a deceased yogi, have such power. Because he spent his whole life in meditation. So to speak of the ashes of the body of a Siddha Mahatma, a Mahabhagavad, he spent his whole life vibrating the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The body's place in Samadhi or his ashes is in tune. Very powerful place to emanate special vibrations. So we're here in a place which is full of Samadhi, full of Samadhi's great devotees, full of the deities, the Chakudu mercies of all the great devotees, full of the background stories of all the great devotees, and let the secrets of the highest place in the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna, Radharani and Krishna are here right now. Right at the same moment, they're here. And this time now it's about 1 o'clock, this is 1 o'clock. And now they're having a spreading. They're playing holy on the banks of Radhakund, they're spreading colors in each other. And then a little later they're playing on a swing, and then they walk through the forest and they take some extra time. Sweet salad and all kinds of nice drinks and everything. But at that time they spend 4 or 5 hours a day here. They come here about 10:30 in the morning for Samakund and Radhakund, and they stay here about 3:30 in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they do it at 12 o'clock rather than days right here, the next person runs to Pad and Brad. And it's just the same. Maybe we can turn to page 120. Let me see what it is.